unusual mitzvah today, a little bit not your typical mitzvah, a little bit more hashgafa, because I want to talk about the situation in Israel a little bit, how that relates to us, what we should learn from there, what we should affect us. So it's a shtickle mitzvah, but it's more, it's also more. Okay. The most important thing, right? Kol Yisrael Reivim says that. So therefore, what? So what are you going to do? Now you're a Reivim. So now what? So the thing is that we have to believe. You know, in Israel, for example, many of the Haredim don't go to the army, and people complain. Well, they're not going to the army. You know, there's the war, the Pikuach Nefesh, and they come with this answer that they are also helping to bring, you know, victorious because it's just Kayach HaTorah. Now, the problem is that we have to believe that. A lot of guys in yeshiva don't really believe it. What my learning is really making a difference. But I remember years ago, there was a, what was his name? Set my head. Hold it. There was a Rav, was a Talmud of Rav Chatzko. He was very involved by Mirkaz. What was his name? Rabbi, would it be? Brevda. Thank you. Rav Brevda. Who knew that? Very good. Okay, so Rav Brevda, he spoke actually in the yeshiva here a few years ago. I heard him speak in Israel, and he told the following story. He said, now obviously he didn't know this story firsthand, as you will find out, but I guess he just assumed it. He said there was a Jew who lived in Yerushalayim his whole life, and he was Nifter. And he went up to Shemayim, right? Goes up to Shemayim, and he meets the Malach, this kind of just book, you know, all your mitzvahs and averis. He says, "You want to, you know, you want to take a look at your, you know, your mitzvahs of Eretz." He says, "Yeah, sure." He starts flipping the pages, and he comes across. It says there that he got saved a life. There was a lady in Los Angeles who was having a great deal of complications at childbirth. It was a very complicated medical situation, and he saved her life. So he's sitting there. And he calls over to Malach and says, "There seems to be a mistake here. I never left Yerushalayim, so it's not, or Israel for sure, and they're not part of it, you know. And besides which, I know nothing about medicine, so there's just no way that I could have saved this lady's life in Los Angeles." And the Malach, of course, tells him, "There are no mistakes in the books, you know." So what's Pshat? Pshat is that when this lady was having her complicated childbirth, he decided to be learning in Yerushalayim, and the schus of his learning saves her life. So therefore, he's accredited with saving her life. That was his story. Now, the question is, do we believe such a thing? And we're obligated to believe it. That is one of the parts of our emunah, that I don't say it's guaranteed, but it is possible. It's more than possible. We say in the davening, we say, "Ki bi'or panecha nasat alanu toiras chayim v'avas chesed ustaka uvracha v'rachamim v'chayim v'shalom." Those are all pretty good things. How do you get all those things? Through or panecha. How do you get or panecha? So or panecha basically means when there's more kedusha in the world, there's more. Or panecha means sunlight, but not sunlight from the sun, but sunlight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's more mitzvahs and more kedusha, there's more sunlight. When there's more averis, there's more pollution, there's less sunlight. Right? The Gemara says, I think it's in Tainus, I don't remember where, I'm not sure where it was, maybe it's not in Tainus, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the fruits got smaller. Right? Because once there's less kedusha in the world, so the fruit shrunk. Right? The time of when the Meraglim went to Eretz Israel, the fruits were gigantic. How come today they're not gigantic? Part of it is because there's less Kedusha in the world. And it says not only the fruit shrunk, the Chazal say that they lost their flavor. Fruits don't taste good as they used to. They don't. An apple doesn't taste like the old apples, and the oranges don't taste like the old oranges. Because when there's more tumah in the world, there's less bracha, and the whole world gets ruined. Right? The Sfarim say that every time you do a mitzvah, this is Sharim says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, Tein Daitcha Shelo Tekalko Es Olami. That's something, when a person does a mitzvah, that is real tikkun olam, not like some of the conservatives. Tikkun olam is worrying about hair pollution. Tikkun olam is doing mitzvahs. You're causing the kedusha in the world. It's brought down in the Sfarim that every time, we spoke a few times, there's such a thing called mitzvahs on the grace. Mitzvahs on the grace, he says, one of the amazing things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that every time you do a mitzvah, you automatically get another mitzvah. You know, this domino effect. So it says that every time you do a mitzvah, you're doing a mitzvah of chesed. Because every time you do a mitzvah, Power Yahweh says this, other people say this, every time you do a mitzvah, you're bringing more or panacha in the world. So you're doing chesed to every single person in the world. That's a lot of chesed. Because having more kedusha in the world makes it a better world. A better world, everyone benefits. So that we have to believe that when we do mitzvahs, and surely when we daven, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to davening, it can make a difference. Now, does it mean it's guaranteed to make every difference? But it makes a difference. If it saves one person, that's amazing. If it saves a person that instead of getting killed, he's only wounded, that's also amazing. If it saves a person, then instead of getting a major injury, it gets a minor injury. Whatever it is, but we believe that it does make a difference. The problem, I say, is that most people don't. The problem is, they see, it's very hard to really believe things that you don't see. That's the problem. So that's where Musar comes in. Musar comes in is you have to try, which is like people can't really feel Yiras Shamayim. We believe if you're doing Avera, you're getting punished. But we do Averas anyway because we don't really believe it. Why not? Because you don't see it. So you have to, that's what Musar is, to make yourself feel it. One of the ways of making yourself believe it says in Maseiros Yesharim, is called Chitzonius Ma'iris Apnimius, which is backwards. Everyone thinks. Everyone thinks that the way you have to feel it, and when you feel it, you do it. But the Maseiros Yesharim says it works the other way, that when you do it, you feel it. In other words, if you want to get yourself to feel something, you got to do it. When you do it, the doing makes you feel it. So if you want to believe that your mitzvahs makes a difference, if you go ahead and do it, if you learn an extra something to save the people in Eretz Yisrael or in this chus, that'll make you feel it. Because chitzonius maris apnimius, actions bring the feeling. Anyway, I happen to think, I'm not posturing halacha, I'm just in opinion, that in a situation where it's a crazy situation, if you know people in Israel, you talk to them, people are much afraid to walk in the street. It's a pacha there. The place is full of Arabs. There's Arabs everywhere. Every neighborhood is Arab workers, Arab builders, Arab working in all the stores. The yeshivas have Arabs working in the kitchens. I don't know if Chabad Chaim has Arabs. They used to have Arabs. I don't know, they maybe got rid of them, but they still have them. Right? Every place has Arabs because they're the. You can't get any labor, except by Arabs. When you hired a plumber, you hired a Jewish plumber, he would come with his Arab. He would sit on a chair and tell the worker, okay, dig a hole here and change the pipe. You hired a Jewish worker, but, you think you're going to get his hands dirty. The Jewish plumber, he has his Arab worker. The whole country is full of these, the worker, the cheap labor. Regretfully, the country has become addicted to them. All the building is always Arab. And they're every single one. You never know. It's a pachad. We had it in the yeshiva. We had an Arab worker when I was there for years. And they, for whatever reason, they found that he was stole something. You know, they sent him to the store to buy something, and he bought something that wasn't supposed to. So that was a good excuse to fire him, because they really wanted to get rid of this Arab worker. So after they fired him, they went into his room, and they had a big picture of Arafat, you know, hanging in his room, you know, in the yeshiva, you know. You know, you don't, you never know. They look like, you know, it's a pachad. So there is a thing, guys shouldn't be feel mishtatev in the tzar of the tzibur, you know, and that you should learn a little bit extra, you know, an extra minute, learn an extra 5 minutes. You should at least daven, at least when you daven, you say, re'enu abanyenu, you say, then I recall Risha, Gregor, Kiro Arisha. What does it say there? What? Okay, right, okay, we got it. Right, in other words, there are parts in the davening that we could have kavan on, or after kindness, and it's sore, you can add your own tevil, Hashem should protect the people. A person should do something, just to sit around and do nothing, and go through life. In other words, see, if you felt that there's nothing you can do, okay, so you do nothing. But if you're believing, we're supposed to believe that there's something we can do, we can make a difference, and not to do it is like a taina. So how can we just sit around and go through life as normal and not do something? So, okay, so at least have kavanah when we say Tehillim, add a bakasha and davening, learn an extra 2 minutes, I don't know, something. I definitely feel that it's definitely an aid, Sarah, and we have to do something. Okay, that was the first point. The second point, there are certain things that we can learn from what's going on. I would say two things. They are connected. The first thing is you can learn something which we also said you can learn from, obviously, what happened by the Nazis. And is you can learn that there are people that we look at and we think the Goyim, or some Goyim, I don't want to say all Goyim, but a lot of them are just, you know, just like me and you, that they're not, you know, that they should go in and take knives and stab people in the back and hatchets, and, you know, it's pretty behemistic. I don't know what the right word is, maybe, you know. It's pretty, you know, they just, the Rav Yeruchim was the Mashkiach of the Mir. So in one of his Sfarim, he tells the following story. He said he was learning in yeshiva. I don't know what yeshiva it was in. And the government were persecuting the yeshiva students. So they arrested him and the whole yeshiva. I don't know if this is when he was a bacher or when he was a rebbe. I don't know. My recollection was he was like a bacher then. So they arrested him. And I think this was in Russia. And what they had in Russia, apparently, was they had a train where they put the prisoners on. You know, there was a special train for prisoners. I'm not sure if eventually they went to jail or just the whole time you stayed in the train. That was your jail. The train, I don't know. But there was a train, that they had a train for prisoners, special. So they arrested all the yeshiva guys, and they put them in this train, and there were other prisoners on that train that were there for real crimes, including there was a Jewish fellow who was arrested for stealing. So this Jewish fellow went over to Rabbi Yeruchim and said that, can you lend me some money? So apparently the way the minig was that the train would go by different stations and they could actually buy things. And they also could get money if they had a relative who would come to the station and could give them money. So he says at the next stop, I have a relative, he knows I'm on this train, and he's coming and giving me money, so could you in the interim, or whatever, two stops, could you lend me some money so I can have money, because I'll pay you back when the train gets to that stop. So everyone said, sure, you know. Mitzvah, lend someone money. They don't have the money. He gets to the stop, and he asks the guy for his money back. So the guy says, you idiot! You think I'm going to give you back your money? I'm on this train because I'm a ganav. What do you think? Well, what's wrong with you? Well, you took my word that I'm going to pay, borrow your money and pay you back? So Rav Ruchim wrote, it never dawned on him. What, the guy's not going to pay me back? So he said that that's pshat is, there's a thing called projection, that you always assume that everyone is like you, since Rav Ruchim would never steal. So even though this guy, and he knew he was arrested for stealing, he just never dawned on him the guy would steal. But he's arrested for stealing. That's what he was arrested for. He was caught red-handed stealing. He would never steal, because I don't steal. So we do the same thing. We see a nice, you know, whatever, a nice Arab, this the guy, this and that, and he would never, he would take out a knife and just kill me. I wouldn't do that. And we project ourselves on them. And it's important to realize it's shalom asani goy. Shalom asani goy is to hear that there's a major difference. That there are some goyim, I'm not saying all goyim, but many goyim that are way, you know, they're mamish. The difference between us and some of the goyim is worlds apart. Now, why is it so important to know that? Because, and that's my shmooze, a one-minute shmooze. There's a chazal here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Amar Reish Lakish, kol melamed es ben chaver al Torah, ma'ad al avakos of Tito Waso. If you teach someone Torah, your friend's son Torah, it's like you created him. Shenemar v'sanevesher osu b'charen. In other words, it says in this week's parasha, that Avraham Avinu also, he made the people. How did he make them? By teaching them Torah. So you see, when you teach someone Torah, you make them. That's the chazak. Shaila is, what's the dimyan? Avraham Avinu was dealing with Goyim. They were old, they avodah zara. They were, you know, they didn't believe in, they were, the, you know, the Goyim in those days were, did not believe in God, all the, you know, what they believed in, you know. So then, okay, if Avraham Avinu taught them about Torah, it's Kido Haso. But I'm not teaching a guy, I'm teaching my Ben Chavero. My Ben Chavero, we were talking in the Gemara's time, probably most people were religious too, I don't know exactly. So he's an Am Haaretz, he doesn't know anything. So I teach him Torah. So how's that comparable to Avraham Avinu that took a guy off the street and he was Mekarev him? It is comparable because a person who doesn't, it's a scary thing that a person who doesn't know any Torah can be just like a guy. We have Jewish goyim. Now, halachically, they're Jewish. If you intermarry, you're not called over and intermarry. I'm not saying they're not Jewish. I'm not saying it's, you know, Mihu Yehudi, you know, that they're not Jewish and you can't marry them and their children aren't. But as far as behavior, there are Jews that behave, a Jew can get into the Geisha society and the Geisha culture, and they can you can almost can't tell the difference. It's like there's some, right, one of these story books about that they eat some food and eventually it turns into a pig. There's such a story like that. I don't remember. No, is there some story like that? A very type of food and eat enough of it and then you get turned into the animal. No? No one knows these stories? One of these children's fairy tales, no? Pinocchio, I don't know. No, it's not in there? No? What?
It rings a bell.
Rings a bell, something that if you eat enough of it, you get turned into So if you act like a guy, and you drink like a guy, and you behave like a guy, and you're in the geisha society, regretfully, you can become a guy. And if you hear how low the geisha society has sunk, it's a tremendous motivation. Right? There's a famous shmooze, which everyone says, that it says, Vayishma Yisro. What did Yisro hear? So Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. So Kriyas Yamsuf, okay, it was like a tremendous night. But what was the big deal, Milchemes Amalek? So many of the Bawai Musar said that he was inspired by how low Amalek sank, that Amalek could attack the Bnei Yisrael right after they left Mitzrayim. It means that no respect, no yira, no. So he said to hear it, that if I stick around, I'll be like that too. Right? One of the most strongest motivations to be a Ben Torah is because there's only two choices out there. And if you're not a Ben Torah, regretfully, the world is crazy. It's in, you know, whether it's pretzels and schmutz, and it's worse, and you can get caught up in, you know, the Geisha society is a crazy society, even in America. It's a crazy, crazy world. We don't hear how bad it is because we project our own, you know, morality on the world, and we just assume that they're basically honest and they're nice and they're not stealing. But it's a crazy world. You see it. So I'm saying you can learn a little bit from here. You see how they're going ahead, and they're just, some people are murdering, and even our great friends in America, you know, they're twisting the news and they're lying. There's tremendous lies in the news, all to make the Israel look bad, and there are rallies I saw on the Haydika, supporting the Palestinians in our college campuses. The world is crazy. So we have to go ahead. That, I think it's an inspiration if you hear how, you know, the world is, the potential corruption in the world, it's an inspiration to keep ourselves different. I heard, I don't know, it's not a politically correct word, but it's probably a Das Torah word, so don't say it in public. And I heard this from the Binyan Oidam. He says, we say in Avdada, Hamavdo ben Kodesh Lechol ben Or Lechoshech ben Yisrael La'amim. He says, how big of a difference is it ben Or Lechoshech? He says, it's a pretty big difference. He says, Ben Yisrael La'amim is no less of a difference. You're talking about day and night, you know. It's not, it's we're not, you know, we, you know, we're not, it's not that we're basically all the same. It's just, okay, a little different. No, it's a different world. It's a different world. It's a whole different morality, a whole different thing, and a person has to appreciate it. I said last year, in the Sfarim, that there was a tzaddik who was doing preaches his whole life. And he was extremely strong and energized. And people asked him, you don't eat, you don't sleep. How do you have so much energy? He says, when I make the bracha in the morning, shalom asani goy, it gives me such simcha that I have so much energy from the simcha. So a person, you have to appreciate. And the appreciated, you have to have simcha, and you have to go ahead and therefore make sure that you stay, you know. You have to keep away from the Geisha society because you want to stay. You know, it's regretfully, there's very little middle. I know Rav Huttner held, I went to Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner held that one of the most important hashkafas is to dress different than the Goyim, to dress Jewish. We don't do it. You guys don't dress. You walk down the street, except for your yarmulke, which you only wear because of halacha, you look just like a guy. So Rav Huttner held that was wrong because of this point. He said a person should want, I don't want to look like a guy. I want to be different. You want to dress like a behemoth? You want everyone to know that you're different than the Goyim. He felt that was not our frumkeit, our Jewish pride, our identity, our being maksh of what you have. The problem is that we're not maksh of what we have. Okay, I want to get to another point. It's the same point, but that's what we're talking about. There are some goyim there, they're murdering and whatever. But what about our nice goyim in America that aren't murdering us and they're, you know. But even those nice goyim, you see there's a tremendous, whether it's the New York Times or this or that, that there's a tremendous perversion of the facts. They keep on trying to make the Jews look bad. Now, why do they do that? So there's a simple answer, which regretfully people also don't want to admit to. There's a thing, the Gemara says, Halacha Esav Sinai as Yaakov. Right? Rabbi Ponkin will probably remember. It was one of the most embarrassing experiences of my life that Dr. Abramson, I don't know if you can know Dr. Abramson, was giving a class in to a little bit non-secular Jews in the, on the Holocaust. And there was this guy, I forgot his name, that came out with this movie about the Jews in the, what was his name in this movie? The Jews about the Jews that they killed Yashka. What's his name? famous. It was a movie. No one remembers the movie. Mel Gibson. Oh. And he made a movie about I forgot what it was called, and it was extremely anti-Semitic. He had pictures of Jews, and then in the background you saw dead devils, and I don't know. So he decided that he wanted to make a special. People were outraged, so he made a special class, and he invited all his non-from people that was teaching, and they should hear a religious opinion of what's going on. So he pushed me into speaking, twisting my arm. So I said that we have to realize that whether we like it or not, Goyim are anti-Semitic. Even though they're very wonderful culture people, they're anti-Semitic, and as such, we have to try. And I was trying to give it a positive spin that our response is we have to be stronger who we are. Strengthen Jewish education, should send our kids to yeshiva, not to public school. We have to realize that the Geisha society don't want us. So there's a lady got up. That is the stupidest thing I ever heard anyone said. We're not in the ghettos anymore. And she went out. I don't know. Baruch Hashem, I was smart enough not to answer her back. I just let her. And then Mrs. What's her name? Someone, what's the difference? Anyway, someone of the ladies in our neighborhood got up and defended me. She did a very good job. Mrs. Hamnick. She did a very good job. But the Maisa, it was, but the world, people don't like to admit that there's anti-Semitism. But the world is full of anti-Semitism. Question is why? Why is there so much anti-Semitism? So the Svarim say, you have to take their word for it, is because they are jealous, which means as follows, and it's an important insight. Like a person who's rich, for example, usually does not, very, a guy's born rich, he doesn't appreciate what he has. Most people, whatever you have, you don't appreciate it. You take it for granted. A guy's born rich, he doesn't appreciate it. But the guy who's born poor is very jealous of him. So the guy who's born poor appreciates what the rich guy has, but the guy who's rich doesn't appreciate it, right? If a person's married, he doesn't appreciate his wife, right? If a person has anything you have, if a person's healthy, you don't appreciate your health. We're always complaining that we want more, but we're never happy with what we have because we don't appreciate it. So we were born Jewish. Because we're born Jewish, we don't appreciate it. That's human nature. Whatever you're born with, you don't appreciate. The Goyim were not born Jewish. So the Goyim appreciate that we have something that they don't have. Whether it's Nitzchias, the feeling that you have Olam Haba, which is a very, conceptually, it's a tremendously happy thing, because if you don't believe in Olam Haba, then it means when eventually you die and your life is meaningless. Life is over, And a person who has Olam Haba, then it's not true. You have eternity. And even in this world, there's mitzvahs, there's kedusha. It's a tremendous difference. So the Goyim appreciate that Jews are different. And because it's just like in class, if you were in high school, who's the kid that they pick on the most? The good kid, right? That's the way it is. I know. I got picked on, the kid who's a good kid, that's because the people who aren't good can't stand the guy who's good, the guy who's learning, they can't stand them. That's what happens, I don't say what they did to me. But they get plenty. I got plenty of abuse. But the human nature, you see in yeshiva, the kids who don't behave, they can't stand the guy who's behaving. He's a goody-goody, he's a TL-er, whatever names they call him, right? That's because the deep down is because they're jealous of him. So you got to realize that. So the goyim are jealous of us. And that when we see so much anti-Semitism, it has to be mechazek us. It has to let us to hear that why is there so much anti-Semitism? Because why is Obama an anti-Semite? Because he's jealous of me. You hear that? He's jealous of me. And I think that's true. That is so there's a certain degree, and that has to give us a sense of appreciation of what we have. We don't appreciate it because we were born with it, but we have to realize that we have something which is so amazing, and lo aleinu, it's easily lost. Because when like I was saying with the shmooze, you can have Jewish goyim too. There are Jews that are, you can't tell the difference almost. Halachically they're Jewish, but they're, for all practical purposes, there's almost no difference. So we have to appreciate who we are and what we are. We have to be happy with what we are. We have to be proud of who we are. You know, we have to be, make sure we mizare to remain who we are. And as we said in the beginning, we should also try and do something extra in the schus of the people in Eretz Yisrael.